Did you experience damage to your home or business from Hurricane Irma? Don't wait. The deadline to file an insurance claim is September 10th, 2020. Call the pros at East Coast Public Adjusters, 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA.
All right, let's get into the knucklehead conversation. Not that Kevin Ioli is one, but he covers a sport that possesses one, a really big one, in John Jones, arrested again, DWI, gun possession, just craziness. So Kevin Ioli does an excellent job of covering MMA and boxing for Yahoo. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin I. Let's bring him aboard. Kevin, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing okay, staying inside, going a little stir crazy, but I'm doing my part.
Yeah, no, it's funny, but didn't that come to your mind? You're hearing about the arrest, and it's 1 a.m., and the dude is out on a street somewhere with a gun and a bottle, and you're like, brother, why aren't you home drinking? And aren't you supposed to be home at this time? You know, we got the corona going on. Get your ass home. Didn't that part hit you like right away?
Well, 100%. I mean, you know, you hear it and you say, hey, this, you know, but I also try to look at it a little deeper than the surface. And it tells me there's got to be something wrong going on there, right? You don't do these actions if you're sane and you're normal, right? And so, and I think a lot of times when, especially when athletes, people who are rich, people who have means and they can get help, this is almost like a cry for help. And I think, you know, he's incredibly lucky. If these facts turn out to be true, and obviously they're just allegations, right? But if these facts turn out to be true and he was twice the legal limit, he's firing a gun. I mean, imagine how lucky he is, because, you know, what could happen if you fire a gun and just indiscriminately in public when you're drunk? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, to me, I look at it and I say there's something going on here beyond just, you know, hey, he wanted to go out, cruise around. I mean, I think there are some issues, but, you know, it's obviously something we don't know. It's all speculation.
Yeah. And again, you weren't surprised either. That's the other thing. It's almost with this guy, it's like the inevitable. And he tells us that he's not going to change either. And sure enough, he hasn't changed.
You know, what I find interesting, and I think I look at Mike Tyson, you know, and I covered most of Mike's career, and I've known him, you know, for many, many years. And, you know, I always thought, hey, you know, I never wanted to write this because it's kind of a horrible thing to, you know, say in public or write, you know, but I always thought, hey, this guy's never going to make it to 40 years old, let alone 50.
I agree.
And now here he is, you know, what is he, 53 or almost 53, and, you know, he's doing well. I think that different people, you know, Tyson, I think, is one of the lucky ones, right? I mean, he was able to get his life together at some point. You know, he was reckless for a long period of time, did a lot of crazy things. And now, you know, by all accounts, you know, he's got his life together. And you hope that that's what's the case for John, right? Because both for John himself and for others that, you know, he would be, you know, for his family. And then for, you know, the fact that he's no longer a threat to society. That would be the thing. You know, if you're driving drunk, we all know you're a threat to society.
Amen.
And if you're firing guns while drunk, you're even a bigger threat.
Yes.
And that's what we want to eliminate. And so you hope that, you know, this guy gets help, whether it's, you know, mandated through the courts or whether it's from, you know, just from his own initiative or family members to help him. But you want to see people who have this get help, because it's, you know, hey, look, addiction's an illness. And, you know, that's how I look at it. I say, I just hope for his sake that he can get the help he needs.
Yeah, but, you know, Kevin, one of the things that you brought up, and Tyson is such a great example, but he's also a polar opposite of John Jones in this sense. Yeah, they both did a lot of stupid things. But where I give Tyson a world of credit is that he looked in the mirror and he knows what he's looking at. Even the other day when he gave us a little view inside his pain, that was real pain that he was telling you about. So he's well aware of his faults. He's well aware of who he is. He's even well aware of the dangerous person that lives inside of him, because he'll tell you. But because he's aware of this, he has been able to harness it. Whereas this guy is still not aware of who he is, and he's unwilling to harness it. And that's until he comes to that realization that he's willing to understand who he is, accept the help so he can get better. That's where Tyson is at. He accepted the help, and he identified it.
By saying this. I'll say one difference. I agree with a lot of what you said, except you used the word unwilling, and I would change it to unable.
Okay.
And I think, you know, as you were detailing Tyson and what he did, I was thinking of Mike Tyson when he was 30 years old, just like John Jones, right? The same thing. And he wasn't admitting it. So I think, you know, Mike has lived 20 plus years longer than John. And so he's had that time that he's been able to do this. And I'm not saying John will do it, or anybody else who's in a position that like John is. And there's plenty of other ones like him who are, you know, eternal screw ups that you see these things happen to. Right. But you hope that at some point, you know, whether it's, you know, you hope it's sooner rather than later. And you hope that it occurs before there is a true tragedy and not just a minor traffic accident, you know, where the worst thing he had was somebody broke their wrist in a traffic accident and that was it. You're thank God that that's the worst that happened. Obviously we're dealing with situations of life and death there. We want to hope that he can find what Mike Tyson found and what some of the other people found and not have it go the way other athletes had it go. Like, you know, Andre Rison comes to mind.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Kevin Ioli, by the way, from Yahoo, covers MMA and boxing. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin I. All right, Kevin, does Dana finally say enough is enough? I know that the MMA, I know UFC needs as many stars or superstars as possible. They don't have a lot of superstars left in that sport right now. He is one of them. But are you willing to sell your soul to have that guy represent your organization? So does Dana White finally pull the plug on John Jones, or does he give him break number 54?
Yeah, no, I don't think – my guess would be that they do not do anything publicly. You know, I think the worst that would happen, and I'm not even saying that this will happen, but the worst that would happen is they strip him. But I don't think – you know, I don't think they'll do that. I think, you know, there may be something behind the scenes that they do, but nothing front facing. Like, a lot of people want to see him get stripped. A lot of people want to see him, booted from the UFC.
Yeah.
That's what people want to see. I don't think that's going to happen.
Why?
Well, because their history. Look, if you go back through the history of the UFC and you look, when situations like these arise, you know, remember what happened. I don't know how long you followed MMA, but if you look this up, and I'm sure some of your listeners will remember this, Rampage Jackson, had a mental breakdown. What was it, 08 or 09? And he, was out, and just a crazy police chase, and, you know, those barricades up and all, this whole nine yards. And everybody was thinking, well, that's the end of Rampage. And Dana stood by him. And he stood by John, and he's done, you know, his history is that that's what he does. Whether you agree or whether you disagree, Dana, that's how Dana, how he does things. So when I say I don't think he's going to be stripped, I say that because I think I know the history of the UFC and the history of how Dana views these things. When his fighters get into trouble, he's going to support them and not necessarily get rid of them. And, you can debate, and it's certainly a vigorous debate, is he making the right call or not?
Are those the optics that you should be doing if you're Dana White? Is that the optics you want from your organization, that no matter what you do, you're all right in representing us? I mean, that sends a terrible message.
I think there comes a point in time where, you know, they will say, you know, okay, enough is enough, right? But when is that line? An incident like this, where essentially at this point, because it was contained, right, he fired a gun when he was drunk, allegedly, could have been horrible. But as it turned out, it's a victimless crime, right? He was over the legal limit. He was sitting on the side of the road. He wasn't driving when he was discovered. So they're going to look at it and say, this is a victimless crime. Now, if he went out there and, let's say, a Ray Rice situation, and there's a video of him belting a woman or belting me or somebody else in an elevator, that's a totally different, you know, situation. And, I think then that might happen. But as long as the things happen like this, even the Rampage Jackson thing, as bad as that was and could have been, right, a police chase through busy city streets and driving the wrong way, nothing happened. There was nobody hurt. So I think that's where they're drawing the line. And I'm not, again, I'm not going to condone that and say that's the right thing, but that's where they seem to have been consistent over the years in how they handle these things.
All right. So how are you handling quarantine? What do you got? Did you build an octagon in your house or something? Or what are you doing?
Well, you know, get this. When this whole thing started, I was supposed to go to Hawaii a couple weeks ago, and we were leaving on a Tuesday, and Monday night we decided, well, I still was willing to go, but my friends who were going to go play golf with me, they decided no. So I was on vacation for 2 weeks, sitting in my freaking house doing nothing except for searching for toilet paper at Walmart, the grocery store, and so that was a bad thing. And but I've been, this is my first week back to work, and I've been doing, you know, some Skype interviews with fighters and fight personalities, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of those, and I'll be doing a lot more, and I should add, next week I'll be doing Brittany Palmer, the Octagon Girl. Nice. So I'm trying to get a diverse group of people, just, you know, shooting the bull about the fight game and what's happening, kind of like we're doing, and, you know, give people something to watch if they're interested in fights, but there are no fights to watch.
Are they planning anything in the UFC down the line in another country somewhere or anything like that without fans? Is that going to be experiment again? Okay, go ahead.
I have an interview up on Yahoo Sports. You can search it, or if you follow me on Twitter, I've tweeted it. I think it's my pinned tweet right now. And I did a half-hour interview with Dana the other day, and he said UFC 249, Tony versus Habib, is definitely happening. He said that I did the interview with him on Tuesday. And that was, he said there was 3 sites in the U.S. and 4 sites internationally that he was considering to host it on April 18th. He said he would announce it by the end of the week, which is tomorrow. So we'll see if it gets, you know, today is the end of the business week, so we'd assume he would announce it today. That, you know, that's happening. And then he said on that interview, and people can watch it again on Yahoo Sports, he said that they're going to resume their entire schedule. So Las Vegas right now is closed, but I think that the governor, unless things change, has said they'll be able to open at the end of April. So now, of course, that's going to be depending on how the situation is on the ground. But I think the UFC is planning then after that to put a bunch of shows at their Apex facility that they have, and have a whole bunch of fight cards reeling off one after the other out of Las Vegas in the empty studio at Apex.
Wow. All right. Interesting stuff. You want to find out more? Follow him on Twitter at Kevin I. You can check out that interview with David, with Dana, I'm sorry. And, of course, catch his work there at Yahoo. He is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, thank you for taking some time, my man. Stay safe. Stay corona-free. Appreciate the insight.
I'll keep with the Tecate, man. I appreciate you, brother.
You got it, baby. All right, be good. There you go. Kevin Ioli, man. Good stuff there. Really appreciate him taking some time. All right.